Accession number 14599, rail 5.
John Hall, Rail 5.
The marches through, after the war were the one through Lille, where Montgomery and Churchill were up on the dais with the Lord Mayor of Lille. And after that, we moved on. Forget where the names of the places we moved on to. We went up through Belgium.
Yes. This one in Paris, though, this must have been the really big march.
Oh, it was. It's a tremendous march.
Victory march. Yeah. So what sort of groups... No, you were saying you were assembled outside of Paris.
Yes.
Well, that must have been a big organisation.
Yes. They assembled us all in France before we went... groups from every regiment in English regiment, you know, only a few, two or three from each regiment, and we all formed up and marched as a group.
Did you have special uniforms for it?
No, only our ordinary uniforms, and because we didn't have to wear our tin hats or anything. Very nice, and the French treated us very well. We had some very, very nice meals in some of the restaurants there.
Do you have any special memory of that march? Anything that happened that you remember during the march?
No.
You had a lot of music, did you?
Yes, the French bands all over the place.
And were the streets decorated?
Yes. I mean, that went right up that Champs-Élysées, straight up to the place where the generals were, all the generals, British generals as well as American and French.
Then the next one after that was the march in London.
And were you in that?
I was in that.
Oh, do tell me about that, Mr. Hall.
Well, we all assembled
in Hyde Park, and because we'd been demobilised then, but we went and met all the chaps, you know, every regiment was there. We all congregated again, and then we marched through London. And we finished up at the Honourable our lot finished up at the Honourable Artillery headquarters in City Road, and we had dinner there, very nice dinner there.
And how did that march compare with the one in Paris?
Well, it was better because it was so nice, you know, the food was so good.
How about the London crowd? Were they...
Oh, everywhere. Hundreds of people everywhere.
And would all the services have been there? The Navy as well as the...
Oh, yes.
The Army?
The Navy had a big do beforehand, though, because they were in that battle where... they'd sank one of the big German battleships. I forget what it was called now. And there's three cruisers attacking this German pocket battleship, and all their crews came to London. They marched through London. That's before our march through London.
Well, did you have any royal visitors? You know, you were saying how George the V was there in Paris and fell off his horse. Were there any royals with you in the London march, or
no.
did anyone come to see you?
No royals at all. Well, King George V was in France, of course, but he fell off his horse. Everybody said he was drunk.
Did you see the Prince of Wales at all in France?
Oh, yes. I met him about three times.
Could you tell us about that?
Well, I forget where we were now, but he came in. Came along the front line. Came in and walked along the front line. Asked us how we were getting on. And of course he had one or two staff officers with him. So we never had a chance to chat to him or anything. He just said, "How are you doing?" And that's it. He nearly walked straight on.
Was it important to see him at the front, you think?
Oh, yes. I thought it was very good of him to come, take the trouble to come up with us. Yeah.
So, at the actual armistice, you know, this is going back a bit, before the peace parades, did you have any sort of celebrations at the front where you were? Did you celebrate with your mates?
No, we were all took everything very quietly. Just said, "Oh, it's all over." Thank goodness for that. No, we did. Nobody pushed the boat out at all, except for we went round the cafe and had a drink. I think that was about all.
Were you pleased it was all over?
Oh, we were. Yeah. Delighted to know that we got through it.
Did you expect that, to get through it?
No, I never thought I'd see live to see the end of it. Especially when the big Somme battles were on. I thought to myself, we can't possibly last much longer. When we come through and time and time again.
Do you think you had a better chance of coming through being in the machine gun battalion rather than the infantry?
Yes, I think I did. Because, with the infantry, sometimes the German thrust groups had penetrated the infantry line, but they couldn't get through the machine gun line.
You rate the British weaponry compared with the German during World War I?
Well, very much the same. The thing was the supply of ammunition. Sometimes we were very short of shells. Usually, we were all right for machine gun rounds. Plenty of bullets, but I believe the artillery had to ease up sometimes because of a short of ammunition. And then, of course, after a while, everything came in quantity. Yeah. It's like machine guns. When we first went there, there was one machine gun to a battalion. And a loose gun. But by the time the war was over, there was hunting machine guns to every battalion, every machine gun battalion.
You have mentioned at various times the Americans and other nationalities.
Could
I ask you about? Did you ever? Were you ever in the line with Americans?
Oh yes, they were good chaps. They were good chaps. Maybe it was we were near Albert, and the Americans were just coming in, and there was two regiments came and joined us. And they were with us just for about a week, and they pulled them up and sent them somewhere else. They were jolly, jolly good fellas, you know. Well, of course, they were all fresh to it. They had quite a few casualties when they first started, like us.
How about other groups, other nationalities? Were you, for instance?
Ever... Oh, the Portuguese. The Portuguese, we used to call them the pork and beans. When the Germans attacked, they ran out of the line. We had to go and cover the line for them. They ran away when the Germans attacked. They left a great big gap in the line. They moved us up. We moved us up to recapture it.
Whereabouts would that have been? Whereabouts?
It's been an illusion festival.
Did you ever see any of the Chinese who were sent to the front?
No.
The more menial work.
Oh, they were Chinese. Don't laugh. We were called up one night. I forget where we were now. We got to go down to where the trains were. The police called a lot of us out. Went down and surrounded these trains. And the Chinese labour traps. They'd come to unload the trains, and they were stuffed up with stuff. They'd got cigarettes in their trousers, and they'd pinched all sorts of stuff, and they were walking away with it. That was my only side of the Chinese.
And how about the French? What were your relations like with the French?
Very good.
With the French soldiers?
French soldiers are very good. Yeah, they used to say, how are you going, Tommy?
How about the French civilians?
Yes, I got on very well, because I speak a bit of French, so I got on very well with them.
And the Belgians, did you find that the same in Belgium?
Belgians, yes, we didn't have much to do with the Belgian civilians. We had more to do with the French. Because we were at Marly Means in the French coal mining district for some long time. And we were all billeted with them, you know, in their houses. Yes, the French treated us very well, I must say.
You were in some very hot spots in the war, weren't you?
Oh, yes.
Well, what do you think was your worst time? Throughout the whole war, you know, the most...
That was Highwood on the Somme. The bullets whistling through the trees and then the shells coming through. And I never thought we would get out of that alive. And then we were in a lot of woods after that. Trones Wood, there was Dover Wood. There's a big wood on the big advance, and the Germans were holding it. They were holding it, and there was a devil of a job to get them out. What was that name?
This would be the advance of 1918, would it?
Yes, the 1918.
Just leave that.
Oh, right.
Thank you, mister. You've been awfully good with that.
Yes.
Yeah. So I suppose demob is the next thing. You know, what was the procedure for demob? How soon after the armistice?
We came back to Marly Means, where we'd been before. And then we went to the Crystal Palace. Came back on the boat and were taken to the Crystal Palace, and we were to mop from there.
And what did you get when you were demobbed? What did they, you know, were you given anything?
Oh, well, yes. They gave us the certificate of demobilisation, of course. That one there. And I forget how much, it was money. I forget how much money it was now.
Did you get a demob suit, like World War II? Did they give you any clothing? Civilian clothing?
Oh, yes. You could get a suit. They gave you a chit to go to tailors and have get one.
Were you keen to get out of the army?
Yes, I was. I got fed up with it. I'd had enough. By the time it was all over, I'd had enough. Bullying sergeants.
I understand that you had you were drawn by the artist Kennington. Is this right? Eric Kennington.
Kennington. Yes.
How did that happen?
Well, Kennington, that Kennington was in our lot. He was in our regiment. Yeah. But you know, the trouble is, when we lived up in Croydon, when this last war was on, a bomb exploded in the garden and took our roof off, and I had all sorts of pictures of the regiment. And a lot of the chaps, and they all got waterlogged. So I lost a lot of them.
And would these have been by Kennington? Would they have been by Kennington?
Yes. Yeah.
But I understand there's one in the Imperial War Museum. Is that right?
I don't know. I haven't been to the War Museum. No.
But he definitely drew you, did he?
Oh, yes.
When was that? What were you doing when he did it?
Oh, he just said, sit down there, you know, to his pen and ink, I think. And he gave it to us. He's very good, he's very clever artist. It looked like me, you know, because... And all my war pictures. I had a picture of the battalion when we were down at Woodbridge in Suffolk, and the whole battalion was on parade on a sort of a slope, and all the officers were mounted on their chargers, and all the transport were at the back, and everything, the whole regiment came in this picture. Nice big picture, and I lost it. I went in photographs as well.
How did you adapt to life when you came out of the army? How easy was it to get a job?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. An aunt of mine had a baker's shop in Croydon, and I went to stop with her for a time, and she also had a big tea room side as well. Well, her shop was next door to Sainsbury's, and I was in there one day, and a tall gentleman with glasses came in, and my aunt said, "Oh, this is Mr. John Sainsbury." So I knew, didn't know anything about John Sainsbury at that time. I didn't, you know, never rang a bell with me. So he said, "Hello, you just come from the front?" I said, "Yeah." "What are you going to do now, boy?" "Boy," he called everybody. "What are you going to do now, boy?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "Well, I said, "I'm looking for a job." He said, "Well, what I want to do, do you know anything about horses?" I said, "Oh, yes, I was brought up with them." But it was all horses and cars when I was a boy. So he said, "Well, I wonder if I can put a man that can drive a horse. to go all around Beckham, that's where my oldest son is now, and work up around. Do you think you could do that? I said, well, I could have a shot at it. Good. Good boy, good. Very good. So he said, well, you report to our little manager at the Beckenham branch. He said, and I'll see what can be done. So I went down there and I worked in the warehouse for a bit, and then they got me a horse and cart, and I started out, and it was amazing. At that time, you know, that was all, nearly all country people around there, and they were the only ones that had any money. They'd made a lot of money during the war, farming. I went round, and to my amazement, I was doing about £400 a week. Well, at that time, my standard wage was £2.10 and a penny in the pound commission. My commission was much bigger than my wages.
Yes, it must have been, I was lucky, because it must have been difficult to get jobs.
Oh, there was hundreds of marchers coming down from the north. Hundreds out of work.
Did that cause much bitterness, do you think, in the country?
Yes, I think it did. But, of course, I was very busy. I had to go like the devil to make my commission up. So I worked up. Mm-hmm. Well, then one day, old John came down and he said, how are you doing, boy? Oh, I said, not too bad. About £400 a week. Very good, he said. Very good. So he said, I said, you know, Mr. Savory, we could do much better if we had a motor car, if we had a motor van. Motor cars, thinking things, he said. Anyway, he said, I'll keep that in mind. And about a month later, the manager came out to me and he said, yeah, the governor wants you in that office. I thought, oh my God, I'm going to get the sack. And I went in, I knew his secretary, because I'd never known her when she was at our shop. I said, here, Floss, what's on? Do you know what's on? Yeah, she said, it's all right. She said, it's going to offer you another job in another shop they just opened. And going to put a car on for you.
I could ask you a lot more about your work, but I'd better keep to the war issue.
Yes.
That's very interesting.
Yes.
When you think about the war, you know, your experience in the Great War, do you think it had any long-lasting effects on your life? You know,
yes, definitely. Definitely.
Could you not fiddle with that, Mr.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
You were... You go through a sort of depression spell for a while, you know. And after a while, you come out of it. I was very depressed at one time when all the casualties were on, you know. Terribly depressed. I used to think to myself, next time will be ours, next time I will be ours. When the last time I was wounded in the hospital, I was very depressed about it all. I thought, well, one more lot like this, that'll make me lot.
And did that last after the war? You know, did you find that had any lasting effects when the war had finished?
No. Once I got out and got that job. And I had to throw the whole of my self into the job to get me commission. Otherwise, there was nothing in it, you see. And, of course, I forgot all about everything else.
Have you ever been back to the battlefields, you know, to the area where you...
Oh, yes. My eldest son and a couple of his friends, we went back. We went back to Ypres. where else did we go? We went up on the Somme. We had a tour of the battlefields. And I was showing them, you know, where I'd been.
And what was it like going back after all that time?
Oh, well, a lot of it had been ploughed over. You know, they'd filled in the old trenches. But there was still quite a lot of trenches still out there. There was one, the ones at Vimy Ridge were all there. And there were several places where they'd blown the big mines. Huge great holes, craters. Huge craters, you know.
Did you go to the cemeteries as well?
Oh, yes. I went back to see the cemetery where all my gun team is. All my gun team was killed. See, all their names were all on the... Their names were all on the Menin Gate. But I went to the cemetery. See, all their crosses. With the names on. That was very depressing. Because it's a very nice chaps. But they were all about the same age as me, you know. It was murder, wasn't it? All those young chaps going. The whole of us was between, some of them were only 17, about 18 to 41. And of course there used to be some of the casualties would be in the thousands. You can see here.
Yes, I'll have a look at that. But Mr. Hall, thank you very much indeed for telling me about your experiences and memories of the Great War. It's been very interesting. Thank you very much.
Look at all this. I marked it there. All the places I was at.
Yes, that's very useful. Let me have a look. Good heavens, yes. Get these down.